God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Luke 21. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Dear friends in Christ, today we begin another church year with the season of Advent, while we wait expectantly for the second coming of Jesus Christ. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming, and it was used for the coming of a king or a god, a very fitting word for the season that prepares us to welcome as our Savior King and our coming King of Kings. During Advent, we ponder Jesus' threefold coming. Advent is a backward glance to Jesus' first coming as the babe of Bethlehem, when, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Advent is also a forward glance to Jesus' coming in glory on the last day, when he will come again to judge both the living and the dead, and when his verdict will be not guilty for all those who trust in Jesus, and he brings salvation to all those who are waiting for him. And in between those two saving events, he still comes to us daily in with and under the life-giving word, the cleansing waters of baptism, and the Lord's Supper of Christ's body and blood to feed us with his forgiveness, even while we cry, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel will come to you, O Israel. Sadly, our instant gratification world and our narcissistic self-satisfying sins are drowning out the message of Advent. Jesus said in Mark 1, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Sadly, rather than seeing our sin and the rescue that the Christ child has come to bring, Advent often becomes a blur of endless, mind-numbing shopping and partying, where Christ is hard to find behind all the ribbons and tags, boxes and bags, gizmos and gadgets, if he's there at all. But if we no longer heed the prophetic cry of Advent, repent, we'll miss the greatest gift of Christmas. As John the Baptist said in Luke 3, and all mankind will see the salvation of our God. But you'll only see it when you're looking for it. And you're only looking for it if you're repentant of your sins, where you see you need a Savior. Our culture is doing a great job of blinding us to the real message of Christmas by pushing the Christmas season all the way back to the day after Halloween, so that by the time Christmas rolls around, most of us are too weary to worship and too burned out from decking our halls to celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world with any degree of joy. Advent is now countercultural. It used to not be. It seems so out of touch and so far off the radar screens of this world that we forget that our primary preparation for Christmas is one of repentance, and then to watch and wait for the salvation that is ready to be revealed. Since you can have all that the world has to offer today, why wait to celebrate Christmas till December 25th? Let's jump right into celebrating Christmas during Advent. Advent is to be a preparatory season of fasting before the feasting of Christmas. And that doesn't mean you have to literally fast from eating certain things or drinking certain things, although there's nothing wrong with that. We're really talking here about the fasting of repentance. But there's plenty of time for feasting. The Feast of Christmas is a 12-day feast that actually is supposed to begin on December 25th or December 24th at midnight and go on through January 5th. That's where you are really supposed to be celebrating Christmas. Here's one good indicator if you've been jumping into the feasting too soon. If you have to get rid of your real Christmas tree on December 26th because it's a fire hazard, it may be because you've missed your Advent fasting of repentance. If you've already put on 10 pounds and run out of cookies by December 26th, you've probably ignored your Advent fasting of repentance. And then what happens? When the Feast of Christmas truly arrives, you're no longer interested in celebrating the Feast of Jesus' birth as the Savior of the world because you've taken no time to see Him by seeing your need of a Savior. And how do you see that? By repenting. So what's the problem with only feasting and never fasting? Well, think of it like this. Imagine if someone brought you a plate of cookies and fruitcake and a glass of eggnog beginning on December 1st, every day. Probably around the 12th day of December, you're already eggnogged and fruitcaked out. And you'll find yourself saying thanks, but no thanks. And you're no longer able to truly enjoy the feast of the birth of the Savior of the world because all you've been doing is feasting. In other words, if you never fast in repentance, do less shopping, partying, and baking, and use that time to read your Advent devotions, reflect on your sin that filled Christ's manger not with fluffy straw but crucifixion nails, and prayerfully ponder on Christ coming to save you, then you will never truly be prepared to feast on the good news that today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you. In other words, what makes the feast of Christ's birth so incredibly good is when you first see the black coal of your sins, when you're haunted by the ghost of Christmas past, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and you're also haunted by the ghost of Christmas future, telling you what your sins deserve, the soul that sins will die, and that you have forfeited the life that God gave you by your more than just naughty sins. It is only then that the surprise of surprises, you can see the good news of Christmas present to feast upon. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. To put it differently, the goodness of the good news, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, is entirely dependent on the badness of the bad news. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, if you belittle the ugliness, the badness, and the judgment of your sins, you also belittle the bigness and the beauty and the sweetness of the Christ child's rescue. What makes Christmas and God's grace so amazing is when we see our sins in all of their ugliness, and we see ourselves in all of our wretchedness, and then we hear Jesus tell us, God so loved the world, so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The message of Advent is, don't rush too fast to Christmas. For unless and until you taste the bitterness of your sins, and that you do not deserve anything from God, only then can you really taste the sweetness of the 200-proof gospel that he's given you everything. A Savior has been born for you, and he is Christ the Lord. Yet, isn't that what Jesus said things would be like in the end times? When the world isn't paying attention to Jesus, when the world least expects it, when people have no time for Christ, when people are more excited about Bleak Friday than Good Friday. That's when Jesus will return like a thief in the night to judge the living and the dead and to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. As children of God, it's actually good to be countercultural and to worship, watch, pray, and repent this Advent. While the world worships deals, watches for bargains, prays for the lines to be short, while believing they have nothing to repent of. It's good for you and I to dispense of a little holiday cheer during Advent and light a blue candle in the darkness of this dying world, begging Christ to have mercy on you. It's good for us who are accustomed to getting everything we want when we want it, to practice a little delayed gratification because we know that there's a greater reason for this season than gobs of gadgets, tons of toys, stacks of stuff, and piles of possessions. Namely, that God in the flesh has come to save us. The eternal Son of God stepped down from heaven, from the right hand of God, and took on flesh that could be dimmed and blood that could be drained for you and me. He placed himself under God's demands of the commandments and kept them fully all for you so that he could give you his womb-to-tomb righteousness. Then in his body, on the tree, he paid fully for every sin we ever did wrong so that there's nothing left for us to pay for. And that is why we can look forward to the day of our Lord's return, for we will not have to pay for what Christ has already paid for all those who trust in him. And this same Jesus, now risen from the dead and reigning in ascended glory, is going to come again, shining with a brightness that will make the sun look like a 25-watt light bulb, to judge the living and the dead on the basis of what you did with the cross of Christ that forgave you. Those who take Jesus up on the deal he gave them, the Christmas tree of the cross, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, will rise to eternal life and will receive the entire kingdom of God prepared for them before the creation of the world, while those who believe that the cross is no more true than flying reindeer and talking snowmen, and much less important than gingerbread cookies and fruitcake, will sadly try to be condemned. That is why, until the day of Christ's return, Jesus tells us, be careful. Take heed unto yourself, lest your hearts be heavy, weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. We know what drunkenness and the anxieties of life are. What is dissipation? Dissipation basically means doing things to excess. Excessive eating, excessive drinking, excessive partying, excessive buying. Wow, Jesus sure seems to have our holiday season in mind, doesn't he? Be careful lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Sounds like December to me, or at least what our sins have done to December. Jesus warns us, be careful lest your hearts be heavy and weighed down. Heavy not just with artery-clogging fruitcake and cholesterol-raising eggnog, heartburn, nausea, indigestion, upset stomach, acid reflux, called Pepto-Bismol. That's the least of it. Jesus doesn't want our hearts heavy with hopelessness, our consciences chained to our sins, like Ebenezer Scrooge. As we take our eyes off of our Savior, who comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. Sadly, Our calendars are full, our lives are full, our days are full, our closets are full, but our hearts are heavy, and our consciences are often gripped by guilt. When we enjoy the shallow feasting of a Christless Christmas because we had no time or made no time for the Advent fasting of repentance. Of all those sins that are actually robbing us of our Savior and His salvation. And our dissipation, excessive Christless celebrating, buy this, get that, have those, enjoy these, is killing us. Luther says the human heart is an idol factory. And when our hearts become unbuckled from fear, love, and trusting God above all things, your hearts will get latched onto just about anything like the hooked part of Velcro. That's our hearts beating with the lust of Adam, the desire to be God. And like Adam and Eve, we too choose belly-pleasing, eye-pleasing, mind-pleasing sin over God. But in the end, it is precisely this sin that will lose the Christmas tree of Christ's cross and the gifts He has for you under that tree if you're not careful. So how can we keep our hearts buckled and latched onto Jesus rather than Best Buy and Target and Old Navy? Two things. First, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There is a day coming when it won't be at hand, when it'll be too late to repent. But right now, today is the day of salvation. Right now, the kingdom of God is at hand, this moment. And then, secondly, take him up on the deal. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you. Now let's bring it all together. The posture of Advent is, first of all, to hear the badness of the bad news, that I am sin separated from Jesus, and in the fasting of repentance, I unload my heavy heart. Isaiah 59, your sins will separate you from the Lord. And then with the fasting of repentance, we unload our heavy hearts and feast first and foremost on the goodness of the good news. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth, and from the fullness of His grace, we receive grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. It's when we spend time in Advent fasting that we can truly enjoy Christmas feasting. So ponder again this Advent, that Jesus was born not only with a star, but with a cross hovering over His manger bed. That our sins filled His manger with crucifixion nails. That what Jesus wants for Christmas more than anything else that you can give Him is your sins. And that under the Christmas tree of His cross, we receive nothing less than the entire kingdom of God, which all the money on earth could never buy, but Jesus bought it for you. When you were redeemed not with gold or silver, but the precious blood of Christ, 1 Peter 1. And that good news is what readies us for Christ's second coming. He is indeed coming again to give us in all of their fullness the Christmas gifts that He bought for us on Good Friday, not Black Friday, and that He has given us by faith already. We possess them by faith, but we don't possess them by sight yet. But He's coming again to give them to you by sight, to enjoy in all their fullness those who are waiting for the day of His return. So our Advent posture is one of repenting, trusting in His forgiveness, and expectantly waiting for the salvation that is ready to be revealed. The gifts have already been bought and given to us by faith in baptism. We're just waiting to open those gifts and enjoy them in all of their fullness when Christ comes again. This Advent, may each of us focus a little less on Santa, a whole lot more on Christ coming, a little less on Bleak Friday, and a whole lot more on Good Friday. For in Jesus, God gives us all the gifts He has. Instead of heavy hearts, he gives us Romans 8. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Instead of heavy hearts with anxiety, he gives us a reason to rejoice. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to all mankind on whom God's favor rests. Instead of hearts heavy with sin, he gives us the joy of Jesus. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you. And when Jesus holds the center position in your life, then you are ready for his second coming, as the hymn writer puts it. When he comes again in glory and the world is wrapped in fear, he will shield you with his mercy and with words of love drawn in. That, my friends, is the doorbuster you were given on Good Friday, not Black Friday. And it's the sweetest deal we've ever been given.